Big mysteries in the world of astronomy are getting a lot of attention among scientists and in the public imagination. There's a possible new ninth planet in our solar system, a weird star that has people talking about an alien superstructure, though it probably isn't that, and rumors of a possible holy grail of astrophysics.
Bill Andrews joins us for the latest in these ongoing space stories. He's a senior associate editor at Discover Magazine based in Waukesha. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be back.
Well, let's stick kind of close to home for now. So why do researchers think there might be a ninth planet in our solar system?
Well, it all comes down to math, which is probably a disappointment to people, but it's enough math on the surface. The idea is that they've found a bunch of trans-Neptunian objects, just basically stuff out beyond the orbit of Neptune, that has some unusual orbits in the way they go around the sun. And particularly the way that a bunch of these things have lined up and have other things in common has led a couple of Caltech astronomers to come out with a paper a couple weeks ago that said the most likely explanation for these weird orbits is another major planet in the solar system, out way in the distance, maybe 10 times Earth's mass, that maybe comes around the sun once every 10,000 or 20,000 years. And so it's all math that they've done to deduce this and infer its presence, so no actual observations, no actual direct evidence of it exists.
So does there, at least as far as what other astronomers have said so far, does their math seem to check out? Does this seem plausible?
Yeah, it does. It does seem plausible. A lot of people are excited about this because this idea of another major planet out there has been talked about for a long time. They've noticed some of these irregularities in the orbits for a while, but this is the first really kind of comprehensive analysis of them that really points to probably nothing else could do this except another major planet.
It's interesting you said it had possibly 10 times the mass of Earth. Does that mean it's just really dense, or do scientists think it might be pretty ginormous?
It would be, next to Earth, it would be pretty ginormous, I think, is appropriately scientific. Neptune is about 17 times Earth's mass, and it's pretty big. It's definitely one of the gas giants that is on the second half of the solar system, as opposed to the rocky worlds inside Mercury and Earth and the familiar ones. So it would definitely be more like the gassy giants, probably. I guess I shouldn't say definitely, because we don't know anything about what it would be like in these weird conditions that we've never seen any other planets in. So it would likely be like those.
Yeah, and NASA is saying, even recently they had an announcement like, this is still theoretical, this does, don't book your trip there yet, this thing may not exist. So what's next? We've got the math, we've got this idea, how do you start hunting for a planet that we haven't spotted yet?
Well, luckily their math has given us some suggestions of where to look, and even though it would be very far away and so far from the sun that it wouldn't be very bright, if you know exactly where to look, the current technology of telescopes probably would be able to find something like this. It's just that there's been so much sky out there that without knowing specifically where to look and what to look for, it'd be easy to miss it.
We are looking at the mysteries of space, our solar system, and beyond with Bill Andrews, senior associate editor at Discover Magazine. Well, let's move on to another one of these mysteries. Going to go a little further afield. A catchy name for a star up there in the sky, KIC 8462852. Kind of a dull name, but it's behaving really weirdly. First, what's the deal with this star, Bill?
Sure, and I should say some people have tried to give it a nickname of Tabby's Star after one of the lead scientists, Tabitha Boyajian, I believe. So hopefully there will be a better way to pronounce the star in the future. But the whole reason it's an interesting destination in the sky is just because it's doing things that nobody can explain. It has a light pattern that dips kind of randomly. You know, there's no order to it. And sometimes it can dip a tremendous amount, up to 22% of its light, of its brightness goes away without any reason for it, as far as we can tell. Planets would have a regular pattern. A companion star would also have a pattern. And as far as we can tell right now, we just don't know. And so, of course, whenever we don't know in science, aliens,
right. There's been talk of an alien superstructure and I guess lots of other crazy stuff and about how we should interact with it, I saw. So we don't want to alert the aliens that we're here. We have to play it cool. But what are some of these theories?
Well, that's probably the most fun one. So we could just talk about that first. That there has long been the idea that a sufficiently advanced species could build satellites around its star to be able to harness all the light that comes out of it. And so something like that, with a lot of different artificial satellites in orbit around the star, I guess, maybe, theoretically, could explain this crazy behavior. So the fact that it's possible at all has been very exciting for some people. But that isn't to say that you know, there's a lot of other stuff that maybe, perhaps, theoretically, it could also be. And we should also say, in the end of last year, after this star first started getting headlines, SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, specifically looked in that star's area to see if they could detect any signals, any radio waves or anything, and they couldn't. Which doesn't mean anything either way, but also means they would probably be a different kind of civilization than we are familiar with, if they exist at all.
An interesting point I saw from an astronomer is, okay, no, probably not aliens, but this is a good thinking moment, a teachable moment. If we were trying to look for aliens in a star like this, what are we trying to detect? What are we trying to do with it? So it's an interesting way to build up hypotheses and methods mm-hmm. for, if we were looking for alien life, how we should do it.
Exactly. It's very easy for people to think that science is just about memorizing facts. And in schools, that's often the way it's taught. It's in the books, and you have to learn the truth. But half the time, it's just trying to figure it out. And like right now, there is no truth except just this weird signal. So you get to see people the theorists try and figure out what else could cause something like this, what else could be behind this. And the experimentalists try and hone their observations to be able to take better looks at this star and try and figure out any more details that could shed light on what's going on.
And moving on, so finally there have also been rumors about the discovery of gravitational waves. Why does that one have people excited?
Well, it was alluded to as the holy grail in astrophysics, which is not a term scientists enjoy being bandied about, but is actually, as a science journalist, I don't love it either, but it might be appropriate in this case. It's one of the biggest possible deals that could happen in astrophysics, and it's just basically one of the final aspects of Einstein's theory of general relativity to be proven. If these rumors are correct, and scientists have made a detection of gravitational waves, everything about that Einstein said would be true. It would indicate all kinds of new avenues for astronomers to look into space with using these gravitational waves. It would be a tremendously big deal. Nobel Prizes would probably come out, and, you know, a lot of champagne, presumably, too.
So, Bill, I may be asking the impossible here, but can you explain what a gravitational wave is in a term that I can understand?
It's sort of like squeezing and stretching space-time, the fabric of everything. So a gravitational wave, if it goes through you, it compresses you and stretches you out just a little bit, because gravity is such a weak force that I've heard the comparison, if there's a huge source of gravitational waves between, say, two colliding black holes, huge massive objects, it would only produce a distortion between Earth and the Sun of about the size of a hydrogen atom. So very, very tiny distortion,
wow.
But presumably, hopefully, a measurable one, and that's what we hope to find out. Maybe even next week is what the rumors are saying.
Wow, next week? What have you heard about next week?
I've heard the 11th might be a day when news comes out, but of course I cannot divulge my sources.
And who's working on this right now?
The main players are an observatory called LIGO, the Laser Interferometric Gravitational Observatory. It's actually two twin facilities in two different places in the U.S. that have been trying to, by very carefully monitoring laser beams and as they're reflected on mirrors, and if there's any tiny disturbance that goes through them, it would warp the mirrors just a tiny bit, and they would be able to see just this tiny little difference. Hopefully that will be able to tell them that a gravitational wave has come by.
Bill, thanks a lot for joining us.
Oh, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
That's Bill Andrews, Senior Associate Editor at Discover Magazine, based in Waukesha, sharing some of the latest mysteries from the world of astronomy.
Coming up, a Wisconsin company is facing scrutiny from firing 7 Muslim employees for taking unapproved prayer breaks. We'll talk about religion in the workplace after the news. I'm Veronica Ricker.
And I'm Rob Farah. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.